For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily.
All right, y'all, this is the last week for we got a game week, a real game week, a regular season, football cranks up. Now, this is let's get a little dry run here. Texans Reaction Monday. You know what is that? Texans Reaction Monday. And week zero in college football.
I was
about
to say, this is the last time, Clint, that we won't have like meaningful football like multiple days a week. This is the last time.
Absolutely. And hearing and all the audio associated with meaningful football, real action on the field from the players as well as the head coach, the Houston Texans and the coordinators and all that. I cannot wait until we start getting all that action rocking and rolling. But for right now, we got an obligation to the people, man. It is a Texans, Houston Texans Reaction Monday. There was a game played on Saturday afternoon, now I guess it's fair to call that a game, right, Ron? This has got to be, and I don't know how many teams around the league actually addressed this game three or game four, depending on when you went to camp, the way the Texans did. But this has got to be the last year of having four preseason games. This has got to be the last year. I mean, think about it. Before the season started, guys, not to get off in the weeds too far, but before the season started, the NFLPA was questioning or positioning themselves to ask for less mini camp, less workout, less time on campus, and more training camp. More training camp. Report to training camp early. I wonder how many Houston Texans right now would vote for that if they said, yeah, you come in 2 weeks earlier than you already came in this week, so you get damn near a month more of football. I'm telling you, man, you stack up a 2021 game season on top of a longer training camp than what the Texans had this year, man, you're asking a lot. These guys might want to be careful of what they're signing up for. But the Texans, they beat the Rams 17-15 Saturday afternoon. And actually stopped a two-point play, if I remember correctly, at the end of the game there, yeah, to secure the lead. Ron, the biggest story coming out of this game, without a doubt, is the way that D'Amico Ryans handled this game. So many guys that did not play. And look, we knew C.J. Stroud wasn't going to play, but hell, Davis Mills didn't play. Look, we knew Dalton Schultz wasn't going to play, but hell, Brevin Jordan didn't play. We knew Joe Mixon wasn't going to play, but damn, Damian Pierce didn't play. We knew Laremy Tunsil and Titus Howard weren't going to play, but damn, Blake Fisher didn't
play.
That
one caught me off guard.
I mean, it's one of those where you go, I mean, golly, what in the world is going on?
And they say no.
What is the point in this football game? But there are a couple of guys that I got to ask the question, Ron. It's Robert Woods and Damian Pierce. Those are the two guys for me that did not play. And if you can think of another one that did not play that fits this category, feel free. But these are the two guys that, now I don't know why they didn't play. I don't believe I don't believe the thought is that they've just 100% made this team and their roster spots locked up and they are a top five receiver on this team and a top two running back on this team. I don't buy that. But were these play to trade, or better yet, no play to trade? I guess them not playing, was that a play by the team to keep these guys healthy to potentially trade them? We heard the rumor last week that there was some Robert Woods was a top trade piece, potential trade piece for the Texans. Obviously, Damian Pierce is a guy that the trade verbiage has been thrown around with his name as well. Do you think that's potential with either or both of those guys?
Yeah, the Robert Woods one is hard. Like, it would be hard for me as a team to be like, yeah, I'll just wait till you get released. Because, I mean, I don't want to pick up that,
yeah,
like any of that check, unless the Texans are going to pay some of it to get something out of it. But the Damian Pierce one is very real. And I'll stand by what I said a couple of weeks ago after the Giants preseason game. I think he needs a change of scenery. And I think I think that would do him and the Texans good. Because if he's here, it feels like the Texans are hell-bent on trying to potentially force that to work, even if it's not working and it's clear to see. But I do think there are other teams that look at Damian Pierce and think, well, he can help us.
Yeah.
He can help us. That's a guy who's 2 years removed from being a top 10 back the way he was playing in terms of yards before he got injured just 2 years ago, yeah, his rookie year. So he is the one that I'm betting people are checking in on when you look at because a lot of running back, like the Chiefs, their backup running back right now is the guy who I think they thought would be a fullback. As you know, the Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who they thought would be their running back, is not able to go right now. I think somebody mentioned earlier, like, the Ravens like to collect backs and fit a certain system of physicality there. Like, I think there are a lot of teams that look at that and think, boy, we could do something there. He could help us there and help a team that's improving in the two spot as a backup running back.
Yeah, no, I think you a certain system, and I think Baltimore's a good one. I mean, they're going to move people. I think
downhill.
You look at the Chargers.
Yep.
When you are a coach that's had success in college, there's a certain level of simplicity, if you will, with your system. Obviously, I believe Jim Harbaugh knows Pep Hamilton. I think so. There's probably some stuff that, like, I think there's a spot for Damian. Now, what he draws in return, I have no idea.
Neither one of them are bringing back anything
significant, yeah, right? But it's just better than releasing them. The other thing, which I think is really the biggest thing that happened on the field, Ron, for me is, and this is, you're talking about a heel out down. You want to talk about a dead horse that I'm going to beat until it's proven. That this is just, I don't know. I don't have any idea what in the hell's going on with this running back room. Cam Akers returning a kickoff with literally less than 3 minutes to go in the fourth quarter of the last preseason game, when anybody that will be in the box score week one is not even playing, blows my mind. Cam Akers goes out there once again. Every time this guy's touched the field, first of all, Cam Akers has a long resume in this offense, so he's experienced and he knows what the hell's going on. 7 carries, 53 yards. He averaged 7.6 yards per carry. He had 3 catches for 19 yards. Again, he had 4 targets in the pass game. Boyle missed him on a H angle, H Texas, H post, whatever you want to call it. That would have been a decent little play as well. Cam Akers, there is no way in hell, there is no way on God's green earth that D'Amico Ryans and Bobby Slowick watch the 8 snaps. Yes, I said 8, it blows my mind that Damian Pierce ended up being a kickoff returner and was not getting any run whatsoever at the running back position last season. To think that he's come in and had 8 carries in the preseason and has convinced these guys to a point where he doesn't play, he doesn't suit up in the last game.
Especially when the head coach prior to the game a couple
said he needs more work.
Needs more opportunities.
I cannot believe under any circumstances that's the case with Damian Pierce. Now you throw Cam Akers in the mix, Ron, it makes absolutely zero sense. There is no way, and I'll put this out there right now. I just don't believe it's true. There is no way that Bobby Slowick and D'Amico Ryans watch the preseason film of the Houston Texans and says, we're not going to give the rock to Cam Akers. We're going to choose to give it to Damian Pierce.
Dang it, Bobby.
If and when, love that drop. If and when Mixon needs a break. And Mixon, who, by the way, has been banged up in camp already this year a couple times. So there's not a football person on God's green earth that watches tape and says, yeah, we're gonna ride with 31 over 22 after what we've seen this camp.
That would be a head scratcher. That would be a head scratcher that if they went that direction, if like, hey, he needs a blow or you know, whatever they're going to do and getting the number two back in.
It's wasting snaps, Ron.
That would not make a lot of sense.
It has to be. Now, look, Dameon Pierce may go out there and prove me wrong and prove them right. Hell, all the receivers did it last year. But right now, it would be a waste of snaps. It would be a decision that you would be okay with choosing to hand the football to somebody that has not proven to be even remotely close to Cam Akers, and Cam Akers has done it every time you give him an opportunity. It don't matter how small or big the sample size is. The guy goes out there and makes a big play on a cutback. The guy goes out there and makes guys miss in traffic with spin moves. The guy goes out there and on schedule hits a crease, gets to the second level of the defense, and has one cut ability to get out the back gate. I mean, I just can't believe that football guys, as good as these football guys are, I cannot believe they sit there and watch and they make the decision in 2 weeks against the Indianapolis Colts to either hand the football to, throw the football to, or have pass protect your quarterback, that they make the decision to go with Dameon Pierce over Cam Akers. I love Dameon Pierce. Look, I hope it all works out. Love him. He's one of my favorite players. But this is just the football side talking, boys.
You'd be more surprised if he would – it would make more sense if he were traded.
Who?
Like Dameon Pierce were traded.
If either one of them were traded, it would make more sense.
Then Dameon Pierce getting carried.
Yes.
Over yes. What Akers.
Right now, you, given last season and this preseason, you've got to assume that they're okay with the risk of wasting downs and wasting series. Period. That's just the way it is. And they're that committed to Dameon Pierce because they've got all the proof in the world, all the reason in the football world to go with Cam Akers, and all the reason in the football world to believe that Cam Akers is going to give you a better chance to move the football and score points. Period. I don't care what practice looked like. I don't care what the practice film looked like. Period. That's just the truth of the matter. We'll see what happens.
Say it ain't been that good of practice.
No, it ain't. It ain't been that good of practice. No, absolutely not. The third thing that I think sticks out from this game, Ron, is, and we've talked a little bit about it, the receivers here. John Metchie added to his value once again. The last 2 weeks for John Metchie, and I can't emphasize this enough. It wasn't just a couple of good weeks, y'all. It was, because my big catch the first 3 weeks of camp was, man, he ain't creating no separation. Sure, if he comes to the line of scrimmage and he happens to be working with C.J. Stroud and the safeties are 20 yards deep and the linebackers are dropping to 10 or 12 yards and they're just and they're spot dropping and he's running a little under route, yeah, there's some space there. I'm talking about when there's man or even if it's a tight zone where the we use the word suffocate a lot, the safeties are coming down and they're really tightening down. The inability for him to create separation and just flat out make plays was glaring the first 3 weeks of camp. The last two preseason games, my man at every level of the field, in the red zone, created space, ran great routes, caught the ball in traffic, made guys miss, put DBs in a blender. I just saw a little bit of everything I needed to see to believe that John Metchie is going to be more than the guy that was really good in college, had an illness, and just could never get back to himself. Like, what I saw the last 2 weeks was that I would buy stock in John Metchie. Whether it's here or it's a trade, I would buy stock in John Metchie. I don't know where John Metchie's going to play his next down of football in the regular season, but his value went up. Again, whether that's trade value or that's just value here in Houston in the future, John Metchie had him another solid outing.
Yeah.
Short, but solid.
First play made a guy on a move near the sideline. And, you know, to me, I thought he probably did what he needed to do the week before. But sounds like he had a good week of practice. And D'Amico said they've seen what they needed to see in game and in practice from him. And I think he's safe. I think he's fine. And I think he's in a good spot for a lot of reasons. But I think to the point that you're making, he also did things himself that those good reasons aren't just things that don't have anything to do with the football field.
Yeah.
On the field, he did things that he needed to do to get in a better place and a better standing. Because, Clint, there could be a lot of off-the-field stuff that you feel about him. Like, he's a good dude. He fits the system. You really, really root for him. You really want him. But if he was still rolling out 1-for-7 and 1-for-4 on preseason games, like, at some point, like, you can't defend that and keep going with that.
Yeah.
He gave them the reason for him to be in a safer spot with his performance.
Yeah, any way you put it, I mean, John Metchie upped his value, man. Cam Akers balled out and most guys didn't play. That's a reaction Monday right there for you. That's what we got on the gridiron. That's what we got at NRG Stadium at noon on Saturday. Guys, did y'all get a chance to watch any college football this weekend?
I watched the college football game.
Yeah,
There were some other ones, but I watched.
Well, the SMU-Nevada game was tremendous. It came up. My boy Rhett Lashley came. He was down in the fourth quarter and came two scores and came back and won that thing.
Missed it. Which, by the way, he was
a four-touchdown favorite, so that they didn't cover. It was a scare, but they're now in the ACC, so that'll be interesting to see how this thing plays out. And he saved the season opener. But boys, it took week zero, which, like you said, it was Georgia Tech, Florida State in Ireland, I believe, is where it was played. It took week zero for me to fall in love with the expanded playoff. I mean, look, we had a hell of a football game. What we were watching at the same time we were watching the Texans game. Georgia Tech takes down Florida State by kicking a field goal. Tie ball game, kick a field goal as time expires to win this thing. By the way, Tyler, you better hope that this kid at Texas A&M plays well.
Connor Wegman?
Yep.
Oh, he will. Yes, just like John.
I agree with you. I really like him.
We're fine.
I really like him. I do. I think he plays
well. Yeah, I mean, you've talked a lot about old Connor Wegman.
But I don't know, T. Did you watch Haynes King?
I didn't watch, but I heard.
Woo. I mean, it's not just... It's not just box score good.
The box scores aren't that impressive.
It's not just a stat guy. Like, but we watched him down the stretch. I mean, he's under pressure, getting waylaid, and he's making jump throws, and obviously keeping plays alive with his legs. Georgia Tech. I mean, he led them to an upset win over Florida State, obviously. But where I'm going with this is it was a hell of a football game. You can't tell me that anybody in their right mind watched that football game and was less excited about what they were watching because 12 teams are going to the playoffs instead of four. Like, you can't tell me that the expanded playoff took the excitement out of that game for you. I'm not a Seminole, nor am I – what is Georgia Tech? What are they? I don't even know what the hell
Yellow
they
jacket.
Are. Yellow Jackets. There you go. I'm not either. But that was a – I had to pull it up. Very rarely do I pull anything up during a Texans game and watch it in the press box. This was one that we had a hell of a game, great win by Georgia Tech, and both teams are still alive to make the college football
playoffs. Florida State's not done, but they are. But Florida State's not done.
Yeah, Florida State didn't look like a team that's going to make a run.
No, it don't look like they're.
But they do live in the ACC. I don't know what Clemson looks like. Not real sure.
Man, they
got
to run the table, right? They would have to run the table. Well, if they don't win, they can win their conference and get in. But because they'll automatically get in. But damn, that was so unimpressive. Like, and how they performed, they would have to really impress somebody to jump in as an at-large to get there.
Yeah, no, but I mean, it's just with 12 teams getting in, baby, anything can happen. It's still alive. It was I'm loving this era of college football.
All right, coming up, the lineup is interesting, to say the least. We'll go over that with you. And the big thing is Jose Altuve is not in the lineup, and there is an explanation from Joe Espada. We'll share that with you coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
Pretty riveting conversation being had right here on our YouTube and Twitch audience, as it is always alive and well. I don't even know how they got here. They were talking about Slim Jims, and then it got to who is more likely to order a well-done steak, Show or Clint. By the way, it's Ron.
I'd like to think neither of y'all are ordering something nasty like that.
And then Ronald McDonald comes through and says, show 100%. It's Ron, by the way.
I think I've eaten steak with both you fellas in y'all order, right?
Jordan Alexander said, I'm going to have to say Clint, LOL. Ron probably puts ketchup on it like his boy crush Patty Mahomes. So a lot there. A lot to take.
A lot there.
just because I say he is the best quarterback in the game, and it is,
which he is,
accurate, does not mean it's a boy crush.
If you need to hear it from a Texans fan, I'll tell you.
Just because you love C.J. Stroud, don't believe that you have a boy crush.
Correct.
Which is weird. Second, I don't accuse you of just celebrating Ramadan because Hakeem Olajuwon does. It doesn't mean that I'm going to put ketchup on a steak just because Patrick Mahomes does, because he's a great athlete from where I live.
That was too good.
Third,
that's really good.
Third, hell no. I want my stuff pink.
Yes, sir.
I damn near want the blood coming out that piece.
Yes, sir.
I'm a medium all day long.
Well, blood ain't coming out of medium.
I mean,
medium's good though. That's where I draw the line.
I'm damn near, but I'm damn near close to it. I have gone a step before it, ahead of it.
Yeah, I'm a medium rare guy.
I'm medium rare as well.
Medium rare is usually where I live.
But I'll be. I mean, if it's flavored right and somebody just so happens to overcook a bit, I will hammer that as well.
I mean, a bit. not a well. Yeah,
I can't go beyond medium. I can't go beyond medium. I need it medium at. I'll be honest with you, I'm probably more of a medium guy. If I could trust you, would be a legit medium.
Yeah.
The problem is if you go medium and then somebody all of a sudden brings you something out there and they left it on a little long, you're like, nah, this ain't 12.
Because you generally want to go medium rare because you think it's probably going to run into medium.
It's the safest for me.
Yes.
I can always send it back and go, hey, man, drop this thing on there just a tad bit. Y'all got, there's a little too much. It's a little too pank for me.
So, YouTubers, you were incorrect.
Not that I've ever done that. I've never sent one back. But I'm a medium rare guy when I order a steak.
Don't beat yourself up about being wrong, though, YouTubers.
I mean,
we're all wrong sometimes.
I'll be honest with you, Tyler. I don't know that I've heard anybody. I think it's been a long time since I've heard somebody order.
Well done.
I mean,
I've never heard that.
I've not even heard medium well.
I don't think I've heard any,
and it's been a long time since I've heard medium.
I got some partners that go medium well.
There's one of our counterparts up here at Sports Radio 610. I just can't remember who it is now, but there's somebody who orders it on the dry side. I'll have to think about it.
No. It ain't.
No, I'm good on it.
I don't know what about me makes you think I'd want to ruin a steak.
And I can
purposely before I ate it.
And I can only think of one thing that would make you think I would.
What would that be?
Is that
Haterade?
Some people that are of my skin color like it a little dark.
Oh, I've never heard that one. I didn't know.
I bet you if you went and found it, did a poll, American poll of like who would get close to the well done. I bet you may see.
The more well the steak, the.
I think you might see some people of color because I know some people like, oh man, you like that pink? No, man, I want it cooked.
Well, I'm pretty picky now. I don't want that thing mooing at me now.
I'd rather get there than well done.
Agreed. I'll agree with that, yes.
I'd rather get there than well done. But I know most of my family members, they ain't touching sushi.
Well, I mean.
I don't anymore.
It need to be cooked.
Yeah, well, I'm going to tell you, Big Earn ain't eating no sushi.
I used to love it, Linda's
going to be real safe. They got something with shrimp in it.
I used to love it. I got so sick on it. I haven't touched it since, and that was about 8-9 years ago.
I never ate it until I was in college. Craziest thing? I'm in college, bro, and this is in Arkansas now, so you got to be careful. And
that's far up there.
We ain't no coast. Ain't no salt water around them joints, you know what I mean? So I'm sitting there, We go to eat sushi, and I didn't tell anybody I'd never eaten sushi before, which is probably I didn't feel I needed to. Anyway, we're all eating sushi, and I didn't realize that when you order sushi and it's the not sashimi but the sushi that's on the little piece of rice, I didn't know that there's some places that go ahead and put wasabi between the fish and the rice.
Don't do that to me.
So I just picked it up, man, and I just threw that thing in my mouth, and I was like,
uh-oh.
I was like, that tastes like, I remember it tasted like perfume. I thought to myself, that tastes like perfume.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds awful.
I mean, that
like you just walked through the perfume section at Macy's.
I just barreled down on my old lady's neck right where she sprayed that perfume, man. I was like, that's awful. Who the hell would eat this? I thought it was a fish. I thought it was a fish. And so I was pissed off. Somebody picks up our tab.
I'm coughing right now.
Somebody picked up our tab before we left. So we ended up paying it. On my way out, the guy that did, he stopped and said, hey, man, you know, I picked up that tab for y'all. Appreciate what y'all do, yada, yada, yada. I said, man, that was the worst meal I've ever had.
Kind of fish they make perfume out of.
I said, man, I just feel like you just squirted perfume in my mouth. I said, that is awful. I didn't eat sushi for another 2 years because I thought that's what it all tasted like. And then I tried it again, and I was like, damn, this is actually
good. Yeah, they snuck that in there. I don't mess with that stuff. I don't like
wasabi.
Like
ain't it.
It ain't it. It ain't it. Oh, no. Me some spicy mayo. I can roll with that. No wasabi. All right, coming up. Let's get to this lineup. I appreciate you for diverting us there for a second there.
Shout out YouTube and Twitch.
Like, I mean, just people rolling here. Just, I mean, oh yeah, Ron. God, just somebody text in. I'll just say Ron because I like Clint better, and
I think that's fair.
coming up, we'll get that to you. No Altuve in the lineup, and Joe Espada gives an explanation on why. And the other part of this, because there's some people here on YouTube and Twitch who are, why are you guys talking about Damian Pierce? I think what we saw Saturday brings up a real serious question.
If you're not talking about Damian Pierce, what city are you in?
It brings up a real question, and we were kind of skirting around it, and I want to get to it. If Joe Mixon needs a blow, needs a break, who are they giving the ball to on Sunday when they play the Colts? Who are they giving the ball to? Is it Cam Akers or is it Damian Pierce? We'll discuss all that next.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, the lineup is out tonight as this schedule continues to put the Astros in front of really, really good teams. The team with the second best record in the National League, the Philadelphia Phillies, they head to Philly. And they're going to do it without Jose Altuve in the lineup. Here is the lineup. Bregman is playing third base. Is this an odd lineup? Like, just the
I mean, my eyebrows shot way up whenever I saw he was at third.
Just the positioning here. Bregman playing third, and I believe after the game, the report was he feels all right with his arm after he got one ball thrown to him, or one ball that he had to actually throw over to first base in the back-to-back games. He's leading off playing third base, and then this is big, the return of Yordan Alvarez. And he's coming off an injury with the neck that caused him to be out Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And he returns to go right and play left field. So, Bregman, you're not Alvarez. Neither of them are the DH. which is wild.
And who is?
Okay, we'll get there. And then third, Diaz is catching tonight. So, he's not the DH. And Pena's at short. And the DH and hitting fifth tonight is John Singleton. And then, remember, Diaz is catching. So playing first tonight is Victor Caratini, because why not? And Gamble, who's been a good surprise for them thus far, is in right field, Myers in center, and then because Dubon is injured, or at least sore, you're right. Sore, injured, whatever, from that run into the wall after that amazing catch, Patrick. Jake Myers is in center, and then Shea Whitcomb is in at second base for Altuve. So interesting. John Singleton is probably the best defensive first baseman in the crew, but he's the DH, while Victor Caratini, the normal backup catcher, is playing first base.
Well, we got to figure out who all can do what here, Ron.
Right now, it's the Phillies tonight.
Because when Tucker comes back, man, that whoever that DH is going to be, it's going to be.
Where are they?
Just hey, listen. Clearly, there is a method behind this, but interesting right now.
Is there though?
I think.
I mean, how many different first basemen have they had this year? It's got to be the most in the league, right?
Like, it's got to be. I want to know, like, if somebody could say, yo, hey, Joe, you sure you don't want Alex or you're dying to grab that DH tonight?
It's not ideal.
You sure? You sure, maybe?
I'm trying to do the best I can.
I'm trying to think in my mind if Yordan's even ever played left field in Philadelphia in that ballpark. You might want to just grab that, but no, that's the lineup tonight. And by the way, to pass along the reasoning for Altuve being out, this is coming from Joe Espada. Jose Altuve just needs a day, Joe Espada said. Espada planned to sit him one day in Baltimore, but Alex Bregman and the Yordan Alvarez situation complicated that. Espada didn't go into much detail, but said, I've asked a lot from Jose this year. He just needs a breather. So that's why he is out in game one of this series with the Philadelphia Phillies. So,
yeah, and I think a thing to note there on Altuve's front, Adam Spolane of Sports Radio 610. Altuve is 34 years old. He's played deep into October the last seven seasons. And he says, I don't think they planned on playing him in 126 of 130 games. So Altuve's played 126 games, and he sat four to start the season. But Adam goes on to say that's what you get when you start 7-19 and then 12-24. It's what it forces you to do. So Altuve with the night off after playing 126 of 130.
Yeah, he needs a break. He needs a blow. That's fine. The Altuve thing is nothing. I just the lineup thing is just weird. To me, the Altuve thing, I get that. You got a 4.5-game lead right now. The Mariners don't look like they look like they may score four runs a week. So you feel all right there with that thing. It's just to me, boy, you got two guys, one guy with a bad elbow and another guy who has a bad neck that's had to be caused to miss games, and neither one of them are the DH. That's an interesting
Big John and Caratini, baby.
And John is the DH while Caratini's at first, which is interesting. So that's going on. That's what's going on with the Astros as they head to Philly tonight. All right. I said this, and I see some people have discussed this, and I can understand, and I'll say this, I can understand many of you all who roll with us every day, we appreciate you, that this Damian Pierce saga has been a big talking point, and I can see how it can make it on some folks' nerves. I can see that. But man, like, what happened Saturday and how they're viewing the thing and how they're showing their cards with the thing thus far is at least something to have a conversation about, because I know many of you think that what they're just doing is they're trying to trade him and that's why they didn't play him. But then again, well, why in the hell would you play Cam Akers as much as you did if Cam Akers is supposed to be the guy that you're leaning on? Because, I mean, if you start to look at it, they didn't play a lot of guys that are in the two deep in fear for him not to, like, Davis Mills ain't going to see the field, hopefully. They didn't play him. They didn't play their backup left tackle, who I'm telling you needs action, or their backup swing tackle who needs action watching him in camp. And then they play Cam Akers into the fourth quarter. As you said, he's returning kickoffs with 2 minutes to go in the game against the Rams. Nobody's playing. John Metchie didn't have his jersey on at that point.
Well, Ron, we've gotten to a point. You mentioned the backup quarterbacks. We've gotten to a point with preseason games where backup quarterbacks don't play. Like, the fear.
The Rams did the same thing.
I know. Jimmy Garoppolo didn't play. Stetson Bennett didn't play.
Damn, Stetson.
Jimmy's suspended for the first 2 weeks because of the PEDs, I think. Yeah. And so Stetson didn't even play. I mean, that's the crazy, like, and to each their own. Look, I just firm, like, if it were me and I had a backup quarterback that when he does play, he's going to do it on limited, at least, like, if something happens to CJ in a game, you're going to ask Davis Mills to come off the bench and go directly in the game, having very minimal reps throughout the week. Now you're going to ask him to go in the game after having very minimal reps for 2 years, ultimately, right? I mean, he didn't start games last year when CJ went down. So he had minimal reps all last season. He had minimal reps in the preseason this year. And now you had an opportunity to play him a quarter or a half. I mean, this guy's going to come off the bench with little to no run. And so you missed an opportunity. And look, I don't know how much he would have gained from playing a quarter of football. But the bigger point that I'm making is, like, preseason football, right? One way to make it go the way that you want it to go, if you're the NFLPA and if you're a coaches, ultimately, if you don't like playing so many, is to just do this. The first preseason game and the last preseason game when you have four you ultimately are – the second stringers that do play is only because you don't have enough guys to play with just your third and fourth. You know what I mean? Like, it's gotten to a point where your backup quarterback doesn't play because of – the fear of
and you got injury. Four of them and both of them Case didn't even play a full quarter and then Tim
may have gotten injured by the way
and, so. Yeah and Tim played the rest of the way. I just look at it from the Dameon Pierce perspective. Right now, yeah, you may be tired of it, but right now that's the case. But when they play Sunday, if Dameon Pierce is the guy coming off the bench first, I think many people would disagree with
it. It better work.
Right? I think right now, based off what we've seen, people would disagree with that. And yes, there's a point of some of you where you could say, oh yeah, that's what they're doing. They're setting him up to trade him. That's what they're doing. That's what they're doing. Sure, that could be it. Maybe they could have just kept him off the field and didn't want to put more bad tape on it to trade him. Or, if you look at the other part, the person that you would think would be the number two back is Cam Akers, and they just played his ass like they didn't give a damn if he got hurt before the game. And what do? They set Dameon Pierce as to say, hey, man, like there's another space where you could say they set him and they didn't play him because they want to trade him. But also because of how they handled Cam Akers, there's another space to say they set him because they didn't want him to get hurt because he's the number two back. And based off what D'Amico said is, we've seen enough. We've seen enough. So as I said, to me, I don't know anybody that would think, hey, all right, Joe Mixon needs a blow. Who's coming in? And to think that that person that's coming in would be Dameon Pierce over Cam Akers. I don't think anybody would think that right now based off what we've seen. But right now, I think that's in question. Based off how they have played it, I would not be shocked at all if Dameon Pierce was the one who walked out on that field or trotted out on that field when Joe Mixon needs a blow in Indy. And to me, I think many Texans fans would disagree with that decision. Maybe they'll just trust D'Amico. I'm one that would
disagree. Here's the deal is if Dameon Pierce is on this football team on opening day and there was a trade didn't happen. The odds are they've got him slated as a number two back.
Right.
And I don't.
At least a possibility.
I'm just telling you it better work and you better win. If you go in there and to start the season in a division game, you go in and you give Dameon Pierce five or six carries and it's more of what we've seen and it's a tight ball game. And even if you have to win it late with a field goal, it's a tight ball game. And you wasted a series, maybe even two series. If you wasted five or six carries and it looked the exact same as we saw it in the eight preseason games, as we saw it last year to start the season, and it looks the same, we are going to discuss it significantly here on the drive on Monday, on the next Reaction Monday.
Is this a possibility? Week one, Dameon Pierce is on this roster. Cam Akers doesn't dress.
Yes. And Dare Ogunbowale is the third back that's dressed, and he's a special teams guy.
That's possible, right?
Yep.
And if their run game struggles outside of Joe Mixon, and it's Dameon Pierce getting those carries, Yeah. I think that'll be a conversation piece.
I think anybody in their right mind would be very, very justified to question what the hell they're doing at running.
So, I understand how people are getting tired of it. I can get that.
Getting tired of what? Damian Pierce?
I can get that. I can understand it, but
look here.
But it's not that it is not important.
No.
That was like when that man was standing over there on that sideline dressed in street clothes, blown away. Now, blown away by that.
Look, if you're tired of the Damian Pierce conversation, then you just ain't been paying attention to the Texans. I mean, Bobby Slowick, the offensive coordinator, needs a run game desperately. You as a fan need your squad to develop a run game desperately. After the third preseason game, Andre Ware and Mark Vandermeer said, hey, man, they've got to figure out a way to manufacture a run game somehow, some way. It's clearly a priority and a 100% need for your football team if you're going to win as many football games as you hope to and you're going to make a run at a Super Bowl. I don't know what the hell else you want to talk about. If every conversation about the Texans on the offense right now doesn't start with the O-line and the run game, which is we hadn't seen enough of Mixon, so we don't know, and Damian Pierce and Cam Akers, if that's not the conversation, what the hell are you talking about?
Stephon Diggs looks good. CJ.
Yeah, Steph looks great. You want to stroke them some more?
I'm just saying, that's the other conversation that could be had. Coming up, 5 o'clock fire. We'll get you completely ready as Blanco. Hey, it's a big start for him to see if he can start to kind of get back. Hopefully an extra day of rest coming will help him. But it's a big start for him as they go in Philly. Also, big news with the Cowboys. One of the biggest stories of the offseason finally came to a close. All of that coming up next as we continue live on The Drive.
Welcome to 5 O'Clock Fire.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/AtBat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.